Welcome to His Stories Broadcast with Pastors Gil Michelle and Kevin Michelin. Every person has a journey in this life, and God is indeed with us in our journey. In this broadcast, you will be encouraged as you hear others share stories of ways that God has worked in their lives. If you are having questions about God, or you know Jesus and like being encouraged and inspired, then we ask that you pay close attention to the program to hear stories of changed lives. In both church and the courtroom, we call these stories testimonies. So stay tuned with Kevin and Gil as we hear some incredible testimonies from inspiring witnesses. It's time to testify. We gather here
hand in hand. Well, hello everybody, and welcome to another broadcast of His Stories. I'm Gil Michelle, and I'm joined here this morning by my good friend Kevin Michelin. And we have an awesome guest with us this morning. He's going to be sharing his story a little bit, but why don't we go ahead and start by opening up in prayer. So, Father, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you for being in your presence. We thank you for the power that comes from testimonies. Yes. Lord, your word tells us that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And so, Lord, I pray, as Harry shares his story this morning, that, Lord God, many lives would be touched. Maybe they themselves haven't gone through what he's gone through, but they know someone or have a family member who's gone through what he's gone through and can be a source of encouragement. They can be encouraged as they go through their own struggle, whether themselves or through family or friends, and that the story would help break any sort of discouragement over their lives. Mm-hmm. We thank you, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, this morning, I'm excited to hear what's going to be the testimony this morning. I'm Kevin, but I'd just like to. We're going to introduce our guest here in just a little bit. I would just like to put maybe a little bit of disclaimer that if you're a parent and you have young ones, the testimony is going to be also talking about addictions. And if you're not completely comfortable with that, you may want to take the young one away. However, this is such a vital area in our culture today. And in our lives, that we want to make sure that you bring the family into the room, because number one, we want to bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ, and know that's your heart as well with our guests. If you could introduce yourself, and we're going to just ask you a bunch of questions. We got three guys here, and we're just going to be kind of a room here of men talking and giving honor to the Lord. So. You introduce yourself, and then also too, if you could just share your love for Jesus, but then we're going to go deep, much deeper, and then in your life as well. So, yeah. Go ahead.
My name is Harry Lockridge. I was introduced to Christ 12 years ago, and it's kind of been a whirlwind since. It's just dramatically changed my life. It's just been an honor and just a passion of mine now that he's gotten a hold of me, just to serve him and to be part of his family.
Yeah, that's great. That's awesome. It's good to hear. So let me ask you, growing up, where are you from? What part of the country did you live in?
Well, I was born and raised in Detroit, Michigan.
Detroit.
The first 13 years of my life.
Okay.
Then my mother and father divorced, and my mom took me and my brother to Niles.
Okay.
And that's where I currently reside,
Niles, Michigan.
Yes. Well, okay. I've been in Niles 40-something years, so This is my home now.
Okay. There's a bit of difference between Detroit and Niles.
So. Oh, yes. But I like the difference because I like a slower pace. I don't like big cities.
Absolutely. So,
yes.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, some folks say Detroit. I never knew what that distinction was.
Yeah. It's just Detroit.
Detroit.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Well, let me just go slow motion in some aspects. What was, you said the first 13 years of your life you lived in Detroit. Mm-hmm. There was also, sounds like there's some separation between your parents as well. Mm-hmm. How did that all play out for you as 0 to 13? What are those things? There's obviously probably great joy. There's also great hurt from those of at least from the separation. Not saying living in Detroit you would have hurt, but, right. You know, in of itself. But there's an effect.
Now, as I look back on my life, it never really affected me the way that I deal with my life as an adult. It didn't, there was no carryover, in other words.
Yeah.
I handled the divorce. I just kind of just left and went with my mom. And
okay.
I just kind of adjusted pretty well. I mean, yeah. it, like I said, it didn't affect my growing up. It didn't affect my, you know, decisions that I made as an adult, early uh-huh. adult. So, yeah, but I adjusted pretty well to it.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, great. Mm-hmm.
So now you're a little older, you're a teenager, you're living in Niles. And so how did life progress from there?
Niles, for me, was, like I said, it was a different change of pace. But when I got to Niles, I kind of had a tendency to get in trouble because it was a slower pace, you know. I just missed, you know, general teenage things, stealing and, you know, stealing bikes or stealing whatever I could get my hands on, you know, and kind of in that sense. And then I got in trouble and had to pay the price for that. So.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, it all worked out for the good in the long run, okay. you know, because I went to jail and the judge told me, he said, well, if you go to jail and do this time and you get out, if you go into the military, I'll clean your record off. So I wound up going to the military.
Okay.
What branch of service did you serve in?
I served in the Marines.
In the Marines.
Yes. I was in for 2.5 years. Made a man out of me, for sure. I didn't get all the benefits that I could have gotten, but I got enough, you know, so, yeah. But,
Well, thank you for the
that
service,
That molded my life,
yeah.
yes.
Yeah, that's great.
And so after the Marines, then what?
Well, after the Marines, I came home and just kind of fell into life, you know, just pursuit of a job, working. I wound up getting hired at Bendix. And at that time, I was only 21 years old, so that was a great job for a young man.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I worked at Bendix for 8 years until they relocated my department to Mexico. Then I got laid off.
Okay.
And which is kind of lends to the story about my life and how I wound up giving my life to Christ. That's part of it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
You know, so when I got laid off, my income was gone. So I'm just out here in the streets doing whatever I can to make money.
Mm-hmm. And what's whatever I can?
Yeah.
Well, whatever I can, I don't know if you're familiar, but I used to write numbers.
Okay.
Policy. You know, you would go around and people would pick their numbers, like the lottery, except it was illegal.
Right. your own lottery system going on.
I got to pay the quarter on the dollar. So every dollar that I wrote, I got a quarter.
Oh.
So it was pretty good, but that's when I was in doing that when I hooked up with this guy that introduced me to crack cocaine. And that's where the rest of the story begins.
Okay. And about what age was that?
I got introduced to crack when I was 28.
You're 28?
Mm. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So help me out with the numbers thing, because I'm clueless when it comes to things like that. What you said it's pretty much like the lotto, and you went door to door?
Yes. You go door to door.
Really?
And you can
see,
write
a total different world. Okay.
You go door to door. You can write as much as you can put on 5 cents on a number, or you can put a quarter or up to a dollar on a number. So,
okay.
Whatever you wanted to play, but at the end of the day, I would take the numbers to a specific place, and they would, you know, record the numbers and take the sheets. Okay. It was like a bookie,
kind of a bookie
situation.
Yeah, so basically, if I didn't pay you, you'd break my legs?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
That wasn't my job.
Okay. Was it your job?
That was someone else's job.
Yeah, that was someone else's job. Yeah. That was the boss man's job. I was just a henchman.
Right.
Yes.
So you meet up with someone that's probably a dealer of some sort? Or
well, he wasn't
a dealer.
He was just the guy that ran the numbers for our area. He answered to a bigger man, but he would collect at his house. He would collect all the workers that he had working for him.
Yeah.
He would collect all their betting slips, and then turn them, then take them to the big man.
Gotcha.
And he would, you know, the winnings. They would distribute the winnings and payoffs and all.
Sure.
That.
Okay.
So yeah, but it was just like the lottery.
Yeah.
It's just illegal.
It's illegal. Yeah.
yeah.
The whole subculture.
And I don't want to dwell a lot of time on that.
Yes.
But it's good for me to flesh that out because you know, again, I said I was clueless.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
So you mentioned at 28.
Mm-hmm.
And if you could maybe go from there.
Yeah. Well, I was on the day when I was out writing my numbers. A friend of mine, well, he was an associate. I wouldn't call him a friend because I never hung out with him. But I knew him.
Mm-hmm.
And he asked me, did I, you know, want to try some crack?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I decided, yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for no particular reason. My life hadn't turned so bad that I needed an outlet. You know, mm-hmm. I didn't need that to mask any hurt or pain that I was feeling. It was uh-huh. just something that I decided I wanted to try.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
And in that instant, that nanosecond that it took me to say yes, changed the whole course of my life.
Yeah.
Because I had a son that was born December. This happened in the summer.
Okay.
And my son was born that December before I got introduced to crack. So he was a baby.
Wow.
And it took 18 years of his life, all his formative years, I spent chasing drugs.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it was pretty devastating to our relationship.
Sure. Yeah.
But I was introduced to crack, and like I said, 18 years later, man, my whole pursuit, my whole life was chasing drugs. You know, my self-esteem was in the toilet. My self-respect was in the toilet.
Mm.
I didn't care about anything. Only thing that mattered to me was getting high.
Yeah.
You know, so that's kind of where my life went, back and forth. You know, I would quit on my own. I would quit occasionally for 2 or 3 weeks, maybe one time I quit for a year.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually I went back to it.
Right.
So, but I struggled with it for 18 years.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, it cost me dearly.
Mm. Tell me the cost.
Well, the biggest cost, it cost me my relationship with my son, my oldest son.
Yeah.
Like I said, I didn't get an opportunity to show him what a man should be because I was so busy chasing drugs that I didn't have time to take care of him and to raise him up.
Right.
So that was the biggest cost to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then secondly, I'd have to say just it stifled my growing and my life, period. It just kind of put me in a holding pattern where I was just stuck in this, like the Matrix kind of, you know, just stuck.
Yeah.
No, didn't have any future, didn't have any, you know, nothing to look forward to.
Mm.
But like I said, my whole life was about chasing drugs. So that became everything.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh. So now, let me fast forward just one thing about your son. Mm-hmm. How's that now? Is that
My relationship with my son now is rebuilding as we speak.
Good.
Yes.
Amen.
So, that's one of the good things that has happened to me since I've kind of turned my life around.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the benefits of it is he sees his dad now as a different person.
And, mm-hmm.
You know, he didn't really know me then, but he knows me now.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
yes, it's turned all the way around, so.
Like, 18 years, you're battling mm-hmm. with addiction. High. Stop for a while, 2 weeks. You mm-hmm. said even for a whole year you stopped.
Mm-hmm.
After the 18 years, what was it that did it? What was the defining moment that said, you know what, this is it. I can't go back to this anymore.
Well, at the end of the 18 years, I started, I had to care for my mom. My mom was coming down with Alzheimer's. And I was her only caregiver. My brother lived in Indianapolis, so I was the only one that she had to take care of her.
Yeah.
So that was part of the reason why I had to let go of the drug, because, you know, I had to care for her.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can imagine a person coming out of 18 years of drug addiction not having the wherewithal to take care of himself, let alone take his care mom. Of his mother.
Exactly,
yeah.
Having to bathe her and, you know, just all the humbling stuff that I had to take on.
Mm.
So... But that fed into me getting better, into doing something better, because I always looked at my mom. She was always my comfort and my protector.
Mm, yeah.
You know, and I always looked to her that way.
Mm-hmm.
So when she passed, she had to go in a nursing home. And when she passed, I had finally made the decision. You know, I had to have something different. I had to try something different.
Mm-hmm.
And it was my mom's passing that really... kind of helped me to introduce myself to Christ.
Okay.
When I gave my life to Christ is when she passed.
So at her funeral, you mean? Or
no,
just
no.
Her?
I mean,
just shortly
from
after.
The circumstances that happened after the funeral.
Yeah.
The church that I go to now, the pastor opened up the church for me to have the respite, and he didn't even know me.
Mm.
But just that act of kindness and a couple of ladies there, they knew me. They knew my history. They knew my drug addiction years.
Mm. Okay.
And they stepped in and helped me with so many details that I wasn't you know, I was overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. So they stepped in and helped me. And through the act of those two ladies and my pastor opening up his church for me,
right.
I just joined the church because I just needed that. Mm-hmm. And once I gave my life to Christ, it's just my whole life has just been turned right side up, you know? I mean, it's just been an amazing ride. And I thank God right today, even for the circumstances that brought me there, mm-hmm. for the drug addiction.
Yeah.
I don't live my life with regret because if it had not been for the drug addiction, I wouldn't be here now.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be sitting before you now.
Right. Absolutely.
So I look at that as, wow, that was a lesson I had to learn.
Mm-hmm.
20 years.
Mm.
So, but even in that, right now, I run the drug addiction program at our church. So
wow.
God is kind of taking
great.
That.
Yeah.
Full circle.
Yeah.
Taking it full circle.
Wow.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Praise God. That's awesome. Yeah.
Go ahead and give a plug. What church is that, by the way?
I'm an elder at New Beginnings Ministry in Niles, Michigan,
cool.
under Pastor Ray and Benita Massey.
Mm.
Good people.
Awesome pastors.
Yeah.
Awesome pastors.
Really good people.
Yes. So, but I've just kind of been on an upward spiral since I gave my life to Christ, and it's just... Mm. My heart is just, I got a heart for God and a heart for people now.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that I've learned is that God has shown me how to love. Mm-hmm. I thought I knew how to love before,
yeah.
but I didn't.
Yeah. So what, well, tell me the difference. What is the difference?
Before, it wasn't love, it was lust.
Okay.
Mm. And I can distinguish the difference between, because yeah. any relationship that I had was based on lust.
Mm.
You mm-hmm. know, my desire for a woman.
Yeah.
But it wasn't based on true love.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
you know, how he loves us, it wasn't based on that. It was based yeah. on my physical attraction to you
mm-hmm.
and my conquest of you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of, that was the difference. And once I learned that and let God show me how to truly love people,
mm-hmm.
it's just like I said, it's just been a whirlwind for me.
Yeah, wow.
Yes.
Yeah, and there is a big, there is obviously a big difference because when I, as a person who's been a believer for 3 decades, I still fight that desire to have someone. If I love someone, it's what I can get from them.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Where God's love is something completely, totally different.
Right.
Where it's sacrificial. You know, we were just talking about it in prayer this morning. he's patient with us. he's kind
yes.
to us. You know, it's not self-seeking.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of love. Does not come from this world.
Right.
It comes from the one true God. And,
right.
and I'm hearing that from you
yes.
as well.
And that's something that you have to learn. I mean,
yeah,
you
yeah.
don't learn that overnight.
No, no.
You learn that through a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the things that I've learned now and the thing that... And one thing I've understood about having a relationship with Jesus Christ is the practicality of the word. You, if you're not ready to put the word into action,
mm-hmm.
then it's just that. It's just a word on paper.
Mm.
But it's the practical application of the word that changes you.
Mm. Yeah.
And once you let God in your heart and he enters your heart, and that's where the change really manifests is in your heart.
Right.
You mm-hmm. know, and I mean, we can get it in our minds, but once it gets in your heart, and that's when the changes start to resonate. And
yeah.
For me, at least. You
sure.
Because I'm just a heart person.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like a David, you know.
Yeah.
I'm a man after God's own heart. I got my wrongs, but my heart is for God.
Yeah.
So, yes.
Well, praise God.
Well, you know, Harry, I know, you know, as well as being an elder in your church, mm-hmm. I know that you've done a good amount of work with De Caloris as well.
Mm-hmm.
Talk a little bit about that and how you got to be involved with that program.
Well, De Caloris, if you're not familiar with it, there's a men's and a women's aspect of it, but it's more like a... Kind of like a reintroduction to Christ to people,
mm-hmm.
and for men in particular, you know, because men we're just so hard headed.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I don't know what you mean. Actually,
yeah. but it's an awesome ministry. It's just like like I said, it's a crash course in fellowship with men and just getting to allow men to love on you, you know, and that's something that men are kind of foreign to is allowing other men to love on them.
Mm.
So, but it's an awesome ministry, and it stands for Church of Many Colors, is what De Caloris means.
Mm-hmm.
But I was introduced to it through my church. Pastor Vanita, actually, she was the first one to go to De Caloris weekend.
Okay.
And she brought it back to the church, and it's kind of like ran like wildfire through
mm-hmm.
our church.
Mm-hmm.
And the effects of attending a weekend is astronomical. Mm-hmm. I mean, you really can't, you can't put it into words, because it's something in and of itself. It's just the way it works and the way it, the, what it does for you. Yeah. It's a life-changing experience.
Yeah.
So, but Decalorus is an awesome, if awesome opportunity for anybody to want to reignite their life with Christ, or even to you know, just to go higher. So it, the opportunity is there. But so if anyone's out there and you got, you feel the need that you want to reignite your relationship with Jesus Christ, look into Decalorus. So it's similar to Emmaus Walk and of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, Decalorus was kind of, that kind of springboarded my faith and my belief also.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes.
Yeah, I actually was attending a weekend of Decalorus where Harry was one of the leaders. He was actually the leader that weekend.
Director
that weekend. And, you know, you go to so many weekends. I've heard about a lot about it, the Emmaus Road, Emmaus Walk, things like that. And I went, well, that's good. Maybe someone who's new in the Lord can go. And I mean, I'm already a pastor. I'm like, oh, well, I don't need that, you know. And I was wrecked that weekend.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. And so it was really good. So we'll probably have it on our podcast notes and maybe put a link up there if people want to get some more information about it.
Yes.
But yeah, it amazes me. You know, I'm thinking that's when I learned a little bit about your story.
Mm-hmm.
It was that weekend, and I was blown away, like, Harry, that was your past? Like, you know, you hear the story of people who go, you go through smoke, or you, like, I don't look, what's that term? I don't look like what I've been through.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Harry's one of those people. You look at him, man, he's got a great smile, just great personality. And and it just goes to show you what God can do in their life.
Right.
Yeah. And sometimes we see people who are in progress. Maybe they're still going through or still fighting through addiction. And that's not who they really are.
Yeah.
Right.
The real them is under that.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing that because of some whatever. But the real them, who God really called them to be, is really the person that's under all that activity.
Exactly.
And so, man, that's just it's a powerful testimony to hear what you've been through. Let me ask you this, Harry. There's people out there right now who may have family members, a son, a daughter, a parent, or they themselves are going through addiction. And it may not be drugs. There's so many addictions, but that a spirit of addiction will play itself out in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
It could be food.
Yes.
It could be pornography addiction. It could be so many things.
Yes.
What would you say to that person who's going, man, you just don't understand how hard it is. It's hard to get out of it. 18 years you were walking through that.
Yes.
If a person is listening today, what would you say, like, to that person right now who's listening, maybe listening to this podcast or to the radio broadcast, and wants a way out? What would you say to that person right now?
Well, I could tell you that, for one thing, you have to let yourself off the hook. So many times we put ourselves in situations in life that we kind of feel like, sometimes we get to this position where we feel like we're unworthy, we're not deserving of God's love, and you feel like that you're making a mess of your life. Well, it took me 49 years to get it right. And in that 49 years, you know, God waited on me, and he pursued me. So I would just, my encouragement would be just to keep, hang in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's never over. It's not over until God says it's over.
Amen. Yeah.
And you have every opportunity, every 24 hours, you have a chance to wake up and change your life.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to bed one way and wake up another.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the awesomeness of our God. He gives us that grace to be able to live our lives, bump our heads, and then decide, well, I need God in my life.
God in my life. Mm-hmm.
And that's what he does. He lets us bump our heads, pursue our life the way we want to live it, and then when we're tired and ready to give up, that's when he steps in.
Yeah, it's a surrender.
Yes.
Yeah.
And just an encouragement for anybody, just don't give up, because, you know, God never stops pursuing us.
Mm.
He's always chasing us.
Mm.
And because he desires us, he wants us more than he wants anything.
Yeah.
So that's just my encouragement to you. And if you happen to stumble along the way, just keep fighting. That's an awesome thing that you can do, is just to keep fighting and never give up.
Mm.
Yeah.
Never give up on God, because God will never give up on you.
Amen.
Mm. Yes.
Amen.
That's great. Yeah. Well, it's encouraging to me to hear what you're going through, because a lot of times what I'll do is, in my flesh, I'll be praying for someone. And it's good to know that it took 18 years, However, there's a new man here.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens a lot of times is I will look at someone, even as a person who's been in the church for a while, and have experiences with God, and knowing that he's changing me and moving me.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, I will look at someone and go, this person's never going to change.
Right.
Wow.
And that's something in which that's a lie.
Yes.
That's from the pit. It's not from God.
Mm-hmm.
Because God will change that person,
right,
if they're willing to let that happen, if they're willing to surrender and give their life over to the Lord.
Right.
So seeing you and hearing what God has, how you've experienced God, is evidence to me.
Yes.
Just like in a court of law, it's evidence saying that you are a new man.
Mm-hmm.
And that addiction is not your identity.
Right.
Right.
Jesus Christ is your identity.
Yes.
And that's why I'm hearing throughout this whole program today is that who your identity is now.
Yes.
Let me ask you, just, I know we got just a couple minutes left, but what was your mom like? Did she know the Lord? Did she?
My mother, yes, she knew the Lord. I mean, she wasn't a church-going woman, but she was a praying woman.
Yeah.
So she kept us up in prayer.
I sensed that. I don't know.
Yes.
I just sensed that there were some people that were praying for you.
Yes, my mother and my grandmother both.
Wow.
They were both. My father, not so much.
Right, yeah.
But my mother and my grandmother, yes, they believed wholeheartedly in God.
Yeah, and that I'm glad that was the answer, because then it gives me to the other point where you may be out there, a mom or who knows, where you're praying for a son or a daughter, and it may or a wife to a husband or a husband to a wife, and saying, oh, will you please just come to the Lord? And so those prayers are being heard.
Yes.
Be patient.
Right.
I think be patient in the Lord.
Yeah, and I'm kind of going through that with my brother.
Okay.
You know, my brother, he believes in God.
Yeah.
He believes in the blessings of God.
Yeah.
But he doesn't believe in Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior.
Mm-hmm.
He won't confess it.
Mm-hmm.
And I find myself praying, God, if something has to happen in his life,
let it happen.
Let it happen.
Yeah.
I mean, if it has to be, you know, something that's going to affect him eternally, then let it happen.
Yeah.
As long as it doesn't kill him.
Right.
Let
yep.
it happen.
Let
I
it
mean,
happen.
Serious,
yeah.
The ramifications of eternity, eternal life, are way more abundant or significant than just not being a believer.
So. Right.
So that's kind of my struggle with my brother, but I can't take him with me.
Right.
Much as I love him.
Well, unfortunately, we're going to have to close today. And,
yeah.
It's a joy being with you. Man, we give praise to the Lord, and we just thank you today.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Amen.
For having me.
Thank you, Harry.
It's been a pleasure.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to His Stories broadcast. We hope that you take a moment to look at us online for more encouraging stories of God transforming lives. We would also like to hear your stories. So drop us a line at hisstoriesbroadcast.com. That's hisstoriesbroadcast.com to add your part to the story God is telling.